Thank you for all those words through Christ Jesus. And tonight I'm doing a teaching. It's going to be like on Aaron's rod budding. And I got to read Alfred Edersheim last night. And he points, and he's so articulate and explaining, giving a snapshot of what's actually going in. Kind of like a trailer to a movie. And so Alfred Edersheim could just go right into some of these chapters and all, you're like, wow. I had a sleepless night last night, couldn't sleep. So I grabbed old Alfred, my book from 1873. I opened it like this, read it like this. Because it's 1873, right? And tonight what we'll be reading about is number 17. And it's going to be Moses and the sons of Korah and Aaron, Aharon, and the rod that budded. And the summary that Edersheim starts telling us, and then we're going to read just these two chapters. I'm going to be pointing out neat things that happened and how they really apply to our lives every single day. Dad's teaching last week was, in my words, unleash Yahweh. Yeah. He talked about Jonathan unleashed Yahweh. Him and his armor bearer. No, I'm going to open up a can of Yahweh on these people if he gives me the okay. David opened up a can of Yahweh. And what Yahweh needs is somebody open, let me out. You can imagine if you have a pit bull or something, let him loose. And so here's Dad's teaching, he just changed there, unleash Yahweh. Each one of us can do that through his word. So Alfred Edersheim starts talking about this rebellion that's happening in Israel. They're rejecting Moses again. They don't like Moses, they don't like Aaron. And then this is the summary of what he says. And he says, so what Moses does is he goes, everybody get your staffs out. We'll find out who Yahweh chose. And Israel's saying, are we all the Levites are saying, we're all Levites. Why is your brother in charge of everybody? And Moses, who says you're in charge of all this? And so this is Edersheim pointing things out. Reuben's the oldest of the 12 tribes. Who says Moses and Levi? I mean, what's going on here? And so, And in this, you have 250 princes representing maybe 2 million people, 1 million, 3 million, I don't know. That's a big congregation. Against how many?
Two.
You think you're outnumbered?
Yeah.
People picking on you? You don't blend in? Just get in line, drink the Kool-Aid, look at you two. And the whole thing was, Moses says, get your staffs. We'll get Aaron's staff, and Edersheim pointed out, he said, here's just, in his perspective, his explanation, ordinary staffs. Aaron was ordinary. Moses was ordinary. There was nothing spectacular about them. There's nothing spectacular about their staffs either. Why should they be over us? What makes them so right? What put them over here? And Edersheim said, Yahweh budded the staff. And the budding of Aaron's staff shows that they represent Yahweh. And that's going to be kind of the conclusion of what we're going to read. That's what we are to do. Because who says this is the most accurate Bible? Who do you represent? Eight people? Ha! I represent New Spring. And I represent Jesus Christ, and he's not a Democrat or you can vote for Obama, and everybody's going to follow him, right? I saw a T.D. Jakes. People keep sending me stuff on T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes prays with Obama. His son's a homosexual. Anyone else? One of the guys, I think it's Peter Furtick or Stephen Furtick, guy I really like. Guess who he has on his church now? He had T.D. Jakes. Why? Would Furtick invite me on stage? I don't represent anybody. If you're so right, Aaron, nobody cares about you, but look at T.D. Jakes. This guy's got money and all the rest of his stuff. And so, and Aaron and Moses were the same way, but what did they do? When they woke up, Yahweh budded. He produced life. And even at this teaching, as I'm trying to get ready for this day, I got a word of knowledge. Go do your 30-minute run today. That's not what I want to do when I'm teaching. I got a million things. I got to try to dust. I got to learn how to vacuum lines, set tables out, make sure I get forks out for everybody. I get scolded. Is the ice busted up? Oh no! Go run. But as I went to go run, this is a life that buds, because you might not represent the big group, But if you represent Yahweh, forget the group. You can blend in. I want to be popular. I want to be with everybody. Go ahead. Do whatever you want to do. Or you can be like Moses that says, I went to go do the 30-minute run. I get in my car, gas lights on, no miles. Not 40 miles, not 20 miles, not 10 miles. They said, nit. That really happens. I went. So I go to Quick Trip, I couldn't go to Quick Trip. I had to go to Dillon's. As I pull into Dillon's, I'm filling things up. I'm trying to be in a hurry. And some guy walks over. He's probably mid-60s. And he's talking to everybody. And I'm like, it's not a good time for me to be talking. I'm like, go, go, go. He looks at my bumper sticker. And he sees Jesus Christ, real men love Jesus. He goes, that's right. That's true. And then he starts up a conversation. I'm like, okay. And he starts saying, well, I try to learn the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is so boring. And the New Testament are really summed up in that we're supposed to love everybody. One guy came to Jesus Christ, a good master, what must I do to be saved? He says, do the commandments. He went, he didn't know. I'm like, you need to, I said, if you don't understand, I said, for kids these days, if they don't understand the Constitution, they don't understand our history and the founders and the Bill of Rights, they have no idea where we are, they're gonna believe Bernie Sanders, you gotta know the and he's looking at me going, yeah. And I go, how do you feel about communists? I hate communists. And I go, we got Bernie Sanders right now. People need to have a foundation. And he's looking at me going, and as I'm sitting there, I gotta get going and guess what Yahweh told me to do. Aaron, you could be like a regular staff and witness to this guy. It's just a regular staff. Anybody can witness. But produce do something supernatural. And I went, can I pray for you? He goes, okay. I give him a prophecy. Every one of us have an opportunity to bud. To give a word of knowledge. That's one area that I don't exercise well, but I need to. And it's our opportunity to say, and it doesn't mean I'm not going to bud so people follow me. It just gives people an opportunity. Because even after Aaron's rod buds, a lot of people still aren't going to follow. These guys are so rebellious. I do not envy Moses. Another thing, I got a word of knowledge after I got done running. Somebody needed a prophecy. No, they don't necessarily need a prophecy. They need tongues with interpretation. There's plenty of people that give prophecies. There's plenty of people that speak in tongues. But tongues with interpretation, you know how the ministers would look at you guys and go, two kids can do tongues with interpretation. Oh, I prayed for 30 years to have that gift that never came down. And then here you are, you just budded. And so if you really want to bud, you do tongues with interpretation. And I was able to, the first time I've ever done that without somebody asking, I recorded tongues and interpretation, I said it. And that's budding. And there's a big, and so, and actually I got to hear another time about budding. It was a friend of mine who was in New York City. She was an unbeliever. Very wild. When she described herself, she was running around New York City in mini skirts and high boots and hanging around the wrong people. And one of her friends, who was the wildest of them all, she ran into her at night one time downtown New York City. And her friend was chained. She was acting all weird. And she goes, what's wrong with you? And she goes, I got saved last night. Yeah, whatever. She goes, I did, and I could speak a different language. She goes, and then she spoke the different language. It says it's assigned to the unbeliever.
Yeah.
The girl that told me that was an unbeliever, and she goes, and what did it do? It budded for her, and then she went, and now she's saved. But budding, producing fruit, like Aaron's rod. Turn to Numbers chapter 17. I'm going to try to read all this. 16, we'll start off.
You want me to get your glass of water?
What kind of page?
Yeah, you know what? This
is Exodus. Okay.
This is Exodus. I'm trying to do that for the kids, too. Genesis, Exodus.
Numbers,
kids. Look at my page.
16.
Number. Are you sure you want
what to happened to all time? That snuggling earlier?
More kissy kissy.
Yeah, you want kissy kissy, you might want to let her cheat off your homework. Eyes on your own page.
Said what? 16
and so number 16 and 17, and I'm going to try to read it. We'll see how well I do it. And as I'm reading this, it was neat. This is a showdown, man. We're going to read about a showdown. And the showdown, thank you, Don. I'll put it over up here. The showdown that I just recently got to read was, not read, I got to listen to, was Elijah. Going to Ahab, and he goes, how long are you going to have these two gods? T.D. Jakes, you have a golden calf of homosexuality and sexual morality. T.D. Jakes endorsed Barack Obama, who painted the White House Sodom Gomorrah. T.D. Jakes has another god. And so does Furtick. How long are you going to pander between two different gods? You can't have two. You think you can have two, you're deceiving yourself. But Elijah says, and he called fire down from heaven. And he did. Killed 450 of the prophets. And it was a big showdown. And he unleashed Yahweh. Chapter 16. This is, we're not quite sure how long they were into the wanderings yet. The timeline's not real clear. Some interesting other thoughts, food for thoughts, as I was able to glean. The Levites received how much, what percentage of money from everybody else? Not this produce.
10%.
It's 10%. Okay. A tithe means 10%. Could they own land?
No.
No, they couldn't. But they got 10%. Now, what did the priests get? Here's a paragraph Bible.
10% of the tithe.
The priests got 10% of the 10%. So they got 1%. But it would appear that the Levites held the purse for the priests. And what we're going to be... Now, I'm projecting some stuff. It doesn't say that. But this is going to be a showdown between the priests of Aaron and the Levites, Korah. Some other interesting things is that the sons of Korah... Does anybody know of a famous descendant of Korah? Because they're about ready to get wiped out. I'll give you a hint.
Levi?
Now this is by Alfred Edersheim says this, a paragraph Bible says this. I have not looked into it to verify it. But he's very, very famous. I'll give you a hint. When he came to town, they say, peaceably do you come?
Samuel.
And if this is true that Shemuel was a remnant of the sons of Korah, he knows about judgment.
Yeah.
And he would have been... Two of us made out alive. Everybody was massacred. And you're like, oh yeah, my grandfather, he was the one that made it out. If that's true. Another interesting thing is that they say that the Korathites in First Chronicles, they're supposed to be in charge of singing. Now, other people will say they were in charge of singing. It doesn't necessarily say that. But you can really apply that to today. Because who's ever running the music at the churches is starting all kind of, any kind of doctrine they want. As long as you got a good catchy melody. And I think this was one of the things with the Hillsong. One of their main guys comes out and goes, he's not a believer anymore. What are the odds? Real catchy music, but you can see it even today that here's catchy music possibly. People are really flocking to it. And then you're going to have poor old Aaron and Moses. Just the two. 16 verse 1. Then took Korah, sons of Izhar, son of Kohath, son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and On, son of Peleg, sons of Reuben, and rose up before Moses with certain men of the sons of Israel, 250 princes of assembly called to the stated meeting, men of renown, and gathered themselves together against Moses, against Aharon, and said unto them, too much for you when all the assembly are all them holy, and in the midst of them is Yahweh. What do you think is going to happen to Moses? I mean, if Moses doesn't win this. Wherefore then should ye set yourselves up above the convocation of Yahweh? And Moses heard it. He fell upon his face. The first time I read that, I was like, I thought Moses was falling on his face because he doesn't want to get killed. My dad corrected me. He goes, Moses fell on his face because the guy, the Elohim, the God that's in the room, going to wipe him out.
Yeah.
And you're going to find out there's a lot of times Yahweh would have wiped them out. He's right there in the room. Who does Moses represent? Moses falls down on his face. Let's see here. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Then spake he unto Korah and unto the assembly, saying, in the morning will Yahweh make known who are his and who is the Holy One, and will cause him to come near unto himself. Yea, him who he shall choose will he cause to come near unto him. This do. Take to you censers, Korah, and all his assembly, and place therein fire, put therein incense before Yahweh tomorrow. It shall be that the man whom Yahweh shall choose, he shall be the Holy One. too much for you, ye sons of Levi. So you come right back. Basically, you don't have what it takes. You don't have what it takes to serve us. And he's going to say, on the contrary, what happened to Aaron's sons when they brought strange fire? You're going to go, you cannot approach him, the holy God. Verse 8, and Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, it is too small a thing for you that the Elohim of Israel has separated you from the assembly of Israel to bring you near unto himself, to do laborious work of the habitation of Yahweh, and to stand before the assembly to wait upon them. You know, I talked to my son once, he was complaining, and I've said this millions of times, lots of times. If you're not happy with what you have, you're cut off. Until you're thankful for what you got, no, you're not getting any more. Especially if you throw a tantrum. In fact, if you throw a tantrum, I'm taking half of your stuff. That's what a good parent would do. And Moses is going, are you guys kidding me? You're not happy that you were separated? That Yahweh rewarded you for your allegiance with Aaron and the golden calf? And now you're going to do this? You guys are going, they have unionized and have gone on strike. Verse 10. But having brought thee near, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, must ye seek priesthood also? It just wasn't good enough. You think about how many times in my own life, you got a blessed life, right? I got a blessed life, and something I'm really hoping for is not coming through, and my old man, my flesh, wants to rebel. If I don't get what I want, and then I throw a tantrum, and I'm not a big baby, but I'll do this emotionally sometimes, and even in my head. And I got to be like, I repent. I got a heart in my chest. I got a wonderful life. Thank you for all. And if I lost everything, I'd still serve you. We got to remember that. Let's see here. I think verse 11 is where I stopped.
11.
Wherefore thou and all thy assembly are conspiring against Moses. Against Aaron. Nope. Because who are they coming against? They're coming against Aharon. Because Aaron is the high priest. Not again. No, we have nothing to do with Yahweh. How many times we go to church and we say, you guys won't even say Yahweh's name? We say Jesus. Jesus is Yahweh. You're going to go, you're not insulting me. But you understand the God who you serve is in the room? And to say his name is a dirty word to the Christians? Unbelievers are fine. You're going to go, man. But you're not offending me. He's in the room, though. But Aaron, what is he that ye should murmur against him? Then sent Moses to call, guess who's not there? Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab. So the sons of Korah were there, but Dathan and Abiram aren't there. And they said, we will not come up. Moses summons them. They said, we're not showing up to court. Was it a small thing that thou didst bring us up out of the land flowing of milk and honey to put us to death in the desert, but thou must continue even to lord it over us? You just want to be a dictator. You just want to tell everybody what to do. You're a buzzkill. Nobody's happy. We've unionized. You're out. let's see here.
14.
Certainly not. Thank you, Tim. Certainly not into a land flowing with milk and honey hast thou brought us, nor given unto us an inheritance of field or vineyard. The eyes of those men wilt thou dig out. We will not come up. They think they're rebelling against Aaron and Moses. You know how many times we go, if Aaron and Moses so right, there's just two of you guys. Everybody else, we've already decided. Then was Moses very angry, and he said unto Yahweh, do not thou have respect unto their meal offerings. Did Moses have the biggest congregation in Israel?
Yes.
Not one ass from them have I taken. Neither have I wronged one of them. You know that makes me think of Moses' house, his tent? I bet you he had a tent all by himself. People probably didn't even know who he was. It could have been holy, but it's the same way with some of these prophets too. They didn't have huge palaces with people walking around like King Saul. It would have been nobody's. Who are these guys? And here's Moses, and here's this guy. How many donkeys was he taxing people? No. He's probably still working and being a shepherd and stuff. Who is this guy? And here's Moses. Not a big congregation. Not a whole bunch of things on TV. And Moses said unto Korah, thou and all thy assembly come to be before Yahweh, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. and take each man a censer and put therein incense. Then shall ye bring near before Yahweh each man a censer, 250 censers, and thou and Aharon each man a censer. So they took each man a censer and put therein fire and placed therein incense and took their stand at the entrance of the tent of the meeting with Moses and Aharon. See the footnote? Mm-hmm. What's it say?
Simchar.
No, see the B?
Uh-huh.
Moses and Aaron took their stand. We're not backing off. They took their stand right here. And anything about the sins of Aharon and the golden calf, that's easy in today's society. That's sexual immorality. This is within like our Christian church. And so Aaron and Moses are going to take their stand. Verse 19, and Korah gathered together against them all the assembly unto the entrance of the tent of meeting. Then appeared the glory of Yahweh unto all the assembly. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, who did he talk to?
Moses.
Aaron. People we go to church with. People, Christians we know. I just heard somebody, I talked to them last week. They said, I would wish I could just hear from Yahweh. Or they said, from God. And I go, are you holy? Do you separate yourself? So I hear from them every single day. You could ask people, they say, how often do you hear from Yahweh? Most people, they don't hear at all. But here's Moses calling Moses and Aaron. What's he going to say to them? Separate yourself out of the midst of the assembly, that I might consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. Why did Yahweh choose Aaron and Moses? I think we're going to find out. Because, yeah, nuke those suckers! Nuke them all! You come going to nuke... What are they going to do? Moses and Aaron are about ready to die. And they fell upon their faces and said, O El, the Elohims of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and against all the assembly would thou be wroth? You kidding me? Who are these two? What we're going to see is just like Donald Trump right now. Nobody outworks Donald Trump. You're going to see Moses and Aaron through the rest of this account. These guys are working up a sweat trying to save some lives here. And they were not taking the attack personal. Because if they're taking it personal, like, go ahead, Yahweh, I'll be over here. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the assembly, saying, get up from round about the habitation of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Moses rose up and went to Dathan and Abiram. Remember, Dathan and Abiram refused to show up. They got summoned. They said, we're not showing up. Who's Moses? Well, it's him and Aaron going to come and get us? Ha! But the neat thing is in the movie The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, the guy that stirs up all the problems in that movie, his name is Dathan. So they, okay. In verse 26, and he spake unto the assembly, saying, remove, I pray you, from beside the tents of these lawless men, and do not touch aught that pertaineth unto them, lest ye be carried off in their sins. So they went up from beside the habitation of Korah, Dathan, Abiram, unto every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stationed themselves at the entrance of their tent with their wives and their sons and their little ones. We're not backing off. We're not afraid of you, Moses and Aaron. Then said Moses, he's going to make a declaration. Hereby shall ye know that Yahweh has sent me to do all these works. Verily, not out of my own heart. He did not want the job. If as all these human beings die, these do die, and the visitation of all human beings be visited upon them, Yahweh hath not sent me. Basically, he's saying right there, Esther, is if they die natural deaths, Yahweh didn't send me. They grow old and they die. He goes, Yahweh has not sent me. But if a creation Yahweh create, and the ground shall wide open wide her mouth, but if the ground open wide her mouth and swallow them up with all that pertaineth unto them, and so they go down alive unto Sheol, then shall ye know that these men have despised Yahweh. What's the time period between this and the opening? I don't know. But can you imagine people going, and verse 31. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground which was under them clave asunder, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up them and their households and all the human beings who pertained unto Korah and their goods. So they and all that pertained unto went down alive. Do you think you could hear them screaming? Let's see here. I think verse 33, is that it?
That's correct.
So they and all that pertained unto them went down alive unto Sheol, and the earth closed upon them, buried alive. and they perished out of the midst of the convocation. And that was the end of the story, and there's no more problems.
No,
that was not the end of the problems. That was just the sons of Korah. And you think about this. Think of Shemuel as a young kid, 4 or 5 years old, studying the Torah, learning about Yahweh, going, if it is true that he was a Korathite, a lot of people believe, I just didn't do the research, but if that was true, you found out your whole family got wiped out, except for two, you'd be like, man, I'm thankful. What if you had a relative that was on a Titanic? Would you be kind of proud of that? Like, man, that's a good reason to make sure you pray before you get on a boat. Let's see here. Where did I stop? 34?
35.
Oh, okay. At least the earth swallowed us up. Oh, okay, 34. Did I do 34?
No, 34. Right.
And all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, their screaming. For they said, at least the earth swallow us up. Fire also. This is like, remember how Yahweh would do a plague? He would tell you one plague and the second one? There's no warning with this one. Fire also came forth from Yahweh and consumed the 250 men who offered their incenses. There you go, T.D. Jakes. Hopefully he repents though. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses, saying, say unto Eliezer, okay, so the sons of Korah, they're gone. The 250 princes, they're gone. So you think everybody would get in line, right? Would you get in line? Man, and what we're going to see is Aaron and Moses working their tail off the whole time to save these guys. Why are you saving these guys? These guys are miserable. Holy moly. That a neat thing, looking at people different. I got the Sam McVay looked at me. He's a guy who says we're antichrist because we won't drink the Kool-Aid of the saying that Jesus is Yahweh. We don't have three gods, so we're antichrist. But it was a neat thing as I was reading this, I could think about Jonathan seeing David unleash Yahweh, and I could see envy. And that's Sam McVay when he looks at us. We're doing something that he should be doing, he could be doing, but he's not doing it. And I'm like, okay, I digress. 36, okay, 37. Did I do 37?
No, 36.
Okay, 36. Then spake Yahweh to Moses, saying unto Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, and he take up the censers out of the midst of the burning and the fire, scatter thou yonder, for they have sinned. Here's Moses going, hey, get everybody back here. We're not done. Everybody get back. This meeting isn't over. You had your parents get in an argument? Nobody go. You guys get back here. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go dig. You'd be under a blanket, wouldn't you? As for the censers, these sinners against their own persons, they shall be made into beaten out plates as an overlay for the altar, for they had brought near before Yahweh and hollowed them, so shall they become a sign unto the sons of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the censers of the bronze, which consumed the men, had brought near, and beat them into, can you imagine what that probably smelled like? Burnt hair, flesh. You want to wash it off a little bit. Into overlying the altar, a memorial to the sons of Israel. That no stranger who is not of the seed of Aharon, shall draw near to offer incense before Yahweh, lest he become like Korah and like his assembly. So put a little note right there about Shemuel reading that. As spake Yahweh into the hand of Moses with regard thereunto. 41. And all the assembly of the sons of Israel murmured on the morrow against Moses and against Aaron, not against Yahweh. Our beef's not with him. Our beef's with you guys. Saying, ye have caused the death of the people of Yahweh. Look what you've done to the people. And it came to pass when the assembly gathered themselves together. Guess what? They still got another union. And guess what? They have the numbers too. They got a heck of a lot more people. And everybody's like, hey, I don't like them either. And it came to pass when the assembly gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aharon, that they turned towards the tent of meeting. With this outrage, you know what happened? Here comes another mob. You ever say, hey, I'm hanging. You ever seen those mobs on TV? We're gonna get them. Aaron and Moses just turn around to the tent of meeting. That's what I thought. We got a message. Yahweh's right there. They just turn around the tent of meeting and they're like, oh boy, you guys are idiots. you just watch somebody get swallowed alive, get buried alive. And then people get nuked. And now you're gonna come there and go, we'll be right back. Hold that thought. You got a minute? We got a meeting. 43, and Moses and Aaron came in before the tent of meeting. Then spake Yahweh to Moses, saying, lift yourself up out of the midst of this assembly, that I may consume them as in a moment. Do it! That's what I would do. Yeah! Look what they just did. Are you kidding me? What a bunch of ungrateful, wicked, evil people. You delivered from Israel and they're going to do this to us? Because they're not attacking you because they don't like you. They're attacking you because they don't like Yahweh. Okay, but here's what Moses going to do. Yahweh wants... And they, what does Aaron and Moses do? Fell on their faces and said unto Moses and Aaron, you think, look at these guys. Take the censer and place there on fire and the altar and put incense and go quickly into the assembly. Put a propitiatory covering over them, for the wrath hath gone forth from before Yahweh. The plague hath begun. They get to work to try to limit the damage. Go see how many people you guys can save. You kidding me? Because the plague, swallowed alive, buried alive, a fire, and now a plague's going to begin. And then took Aharon and Moses and spake, and what did they do? How old are these guys? 84 and maybe 88, later 80s. And what are they going to do? Ran into the midst of the convocation. And lo, the plague had begun. They were running to save these people. Golly. Among the people, so he placed the incense and put a propitiatory covering over the people, thus did he take his stand between the dead and the living. God. And the plague was restrained. And if they would have not took their stand, they would have been dead. And so it was that they who died in the plague were 14,700, besides them who died over the matter of Korah. And Aharon returned to Moses unto the entrance of the tent of meeting when the plague had restrained. Who was Aharon and Moses? God, could you do that? Could you go save those people? If he told me to save them, I could. But if Yahweh didn't tell me to save them, I'm like, hey, that which you sow, you'll reap. Life would be a lot easier wiping them out. But who were these guys? I don't... Chapter 17. So now these 14,000 people die. Now you think the dispute's over, right? All the bad people are gone. People are going to finally get in line, right? Why did all these people die? Maybe 20,000, 50,000, I don't know. Then spake Moses, Yahweh to Moses, saying, speak unto the sons of Israel, and take them one staff for each of their ancestral house. Of all their princes by their ancestral houses, 12 staffs. Each man's name shall thou write upon the staff. And Aaron's name shall thou write upon the staff of Levi. For one staff shall there be for the head of the ancestral houses. Then shalt thou lay them up in the tent of meeting before the testimony, where I may meet you. So shall it come to pass that the man whom I shall choose, his staff will bud. So shall I cease from against me the murmurings of the sons of Israel. Did they stop murmuring? No. They're still murmuring, the sons of Israel, wherewith they are murmuring against you. This is you being attacked. Yahweh's being murmured against. And you're going to go... This is how important. Covet to prophesy. It says be zealous, the same word as covet. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says you should prophesy. Why? Because when... There are some people that if they see a staff bud, they're going to fall to their knees and go, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really stiff neck and hard hearted people. They don't want it. But it's a real quick way. They then go, who can have a staff that buzzed just like this? And this is where prophecy comes in. And it could be tongues with interpretation. And Moses spake unto the sons of Israel. Did I already do that?
No, six.
Okay. Thank you. And every one of their princes gave unto him a staff apiece for each prince. Okay, before we read the rest, what's going to happen to Aaron's staff? It's going to bud. It's bud. What was Jesus Christ called?
And bear
alms. And bear fruit.
Yeah.
What was Jesus Christ called? He's called the bud.
The bud.
The bud. That's not the same word, but he was called the bud. Who? You know what Jesus Christ looked like? Somebody would have never noticed. You know what Moses would look like? Nothing. Probably sloppy clothes, old farmer type stuff. Not sloppy. You wouldn't notice. Not good looking people. Mashiach was the same way, but he budded. Man, did he bud. And what's Aaron? What's Yah going to tell Aaron to, or Moses to do with the staff that buds?
Put in the ark.
How big is the ark?
7 feet.
Is it 7 feet long?
I don't know
how long it is, but you're going to put this staff that budded in there. Why?
To show the people.
Anybody else?
As a testament.
Okay, you guys are getting close. But why is the staff going to be put in there? So you guys are close.
So they don't worship it?
Well, you'll see. They would, but you're going to see. Holy moly! You're going to see why that was in there. I didn't know this until this teaching. So okay, I stop at 8. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses, you can imagine, guys, there's 12 staffs. Here's Edersheim going, there's nothing unique about Moses. There's nothing unique about Aaron. And as far as we know, there could have been 10 years between the plagues of Egypt and to this. And as far as we know, Moses didn't do anything spectacular. Maybe he was just shepherding. And maybe those days are over. I don't know. But there was nothing really unique about them. And neither was there anything really unique about the staff either. But Yahweh's going to choose it. And what do we know about why was Aaron and Moses chosen? Well, look what they just did. Yahweh could see their hearts. Let's see here. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses entered into the tent of the assembly, and lo, the staff of Aharon for the house of Levi had budded. Yea, he had brought forth almonds. Oh, sorry, brought forth and bloomed blossoms and bore ripe almonds.
Yeah.
You can think about that. Golly.
Just a stick.
No, that's Jesus Christ. Who is this guy? Can you imagine when we turn water into the wine? Or Peter, walking on water, going to these things, like, who can do that? And that's our jobs are but it's our choice. We're not like the staff. It's up to you. If you don't bud, you don't have to. Let's see here. Verse 9. So then Moses brought forth all the staffs from before Yahweh unto all the sons of Israel. And they saw and took each man his own staff. They took their staffs back. They had not been selected. And Yahweh said unto Moses, and you know, I would be thinking, after I saw what Moses and Aaron had to do to save these people's lives, I don't want that job. You know what? You guys are really good at it. I'm going to go back. I don't care what they voted for. And Yahweh said unto Moses, put back the rod of Aaron for the testimony to be kept as a sign for what?
I just thought you were perverse.
To read.
A sign for what?
Perverse. Signs of perversion.
Mm-hmm.
Perverseness.
It wasn't for Moses, it wasn't for Aaron. It says, unto such as are perverse. For the perverted people, here's your sign. I didn't know that. And then that thou may bring it to an end of their murmurings against me. That they what?
Die.
They're going to die. Everybody come around. Come around. See this? Wow, look at that. There's like a museum. It budded. Look at that. Why? Because that's a sign. If you murmur against Moses and Aaron, you're going to
die.
Do you want to die? No, I don't want to die. Look at that. Leave Moses and Aaron alone and do whatever they say. That's what the sign was. And it didn't say they got to look at it, but that's the story. Thus did Moses, as Yahweh commanded him, so did he. Then spake the sons of Israel unto Moses, saying, lo, we have breathed our last. We are lost. We are all lost. Whatsoever draweth near unto the habitation of Yahweh dieth. Are we ever to have made... And there's a bunch of crybabies still complaining. It should have been, and they kissed Moses and Aaron's feet, and they lifted up on their shoulders, and they said, hip hip hooray! No, they did not. On the day of Pentecost, Israel was there. All the religious people had to be there on the day of Pentecost. You would think that when the earth swallowed these blasphemers up, well, the blasphemers, sons of Korah, Dathan, they had all the votes on their sides. Everybody else, we agree. Okay, this makes sense to us. You would think that after seeing that sign that they would murmur. On the day of Pentecost, fire came down, and 120 started speaking a language, the promise of Joel, including Jesus Christ's mom, and they're speaking. And what was the first thing they did?
They said they're drunk.
And mocked them, started their murmuring. And what did Peter do? It says Peter took his stand. Moses and Aaron took their stand. And when Peter took his stand and he spoke, he butted. What was the difference between Peter and the rest of the Hebrews in there? Peter was now chosen because he made Jesus Christ his Passover lamb, his Lord and Savior, and he butted, and 3,000 people got saved.
Yeah, wow.
So you see, it's not you against all of Christianity. It's not you against these groups. It's you and Yahweh. And if people are with you, great. If they're not with you, forget them. Getting votes and getting more likes on Facebook and having more friends. I got lots and lots of friends. I don't need lots of friends. I want Yahweh and Christ. And they will give me and remove things. And we look at it, it's the Apostle Paul. Why did anybody believe the Apostle Paul? It said in 1 Corinthians, let's see here, chapter 2, verse 3. And think about the Apostle Paul, just like Moses. And the Apostle Paul is going to butt. I therefore in weakness, chapter 2, verse 3, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling came unto you. And my discourse and what I proclaimed were not in suasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of ruah and power, mighty works, in order that your faith might not be in men's wisdom, but in Yahweh's power, His works. That's us prophesying. That's us going, no, I need to learn how to get a word of knowledge. I need to learn how to do this. If you, okay, show of hands, who would like to do a mighty work, heal somebody?
Yeah.
If you're not practicing word of knowledge, it's just going to seem very unlikely. Because
yeah.
Almost everybody that does do the mighty works, guess what they do? He's John G. Legge, and they were wrong in a lot of other areas. When it came to power, word of knowledge, and even with David Remy, he would explain to me, he was so humble with it. He goes, Aaron, it's not my faith. And I got to learn, he would produce an environment that would raise the people's faith. Then their faith would be ready just for the plucking. And he'd get a word of knowledge or somebody in here that's going through a divorce. And he's saying, you've already made the decision in your heart. And you're going to abandon the greatest blessings in your life, and you'll never be happy. Okay, there's the word of knowledge. And I was witnessing to somebody else that said, sometimes I don't get feedback on the word of knowledge. And you don't have to. But we got to walk out. Because if Moses, do you think Moses remembered that Yahweh was with him? Yeah.
Sure.
We got to remember that too. When we walk out and go, I want to give a word of knowledge, because what would happen in the congregation, when one word of knowledge would come up, everybody would be like, oh my goodness. And then somebody gives a testimony, I just got healed. What happens when we share testimonies? What happens to your faith?
Yeah, because
you start getting just like that. Then Yahweh goes, we are to seek the greater gifts. We're very good at tongues and interpretation and prophecy. And we should continue to do that, to show people what makes you so different, Esther. Because this church does this, and we do this, and then we do that. And I got to share that with my son, Caden. He goes, why? We're explaining about false gods. He goes, why would people do that? And I said, well, Caden, you go to a Catholic church? He goes, yeah. I said, Catholic churches pray to images. He says, Yahweh's a jealous God. You know how he feels about those images? He went, not happy. No, he didn't want you to pray to people that aren't there. They're asleep. And I go, what would happen if you went in there, knocked all those things down? He goes, man, people would be really upset. They would be. That's what happened in the judges and all the rest of this stuff. But I was telling Caden, so how do you help people that might want to be helped? He goes, I don't know. I said, you give him a prophecy. And you, boom, demonstrations of power. And every once in a while, there's not going to be any words there. And Yahweh's going to be like, it's a lost cause.
Yeah.
Well, great. It could be a word of knowledge. Tongues of interpretation is a big one. So you're around people, you start talking, like, yeah, I've been around speaking in tongues and prophecy. Do you do tongues of interpretation? Well, no. Every child in our fellowship does. That's a staff that butts.
Yeah.
Here's Moses, too, against the whole congregation. They butted. And what we could do is also 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. How that our glad message came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Austin, how many people you led in speaking in tongues? Don't answer that. How many people have you led in salvation? Don't answer that. How many people have you exercised demons? Don't answer that. We go on to those things and maybe we've never done it before, right? The Apostle Paul said, I didn't come with great words. I came with great company. And he worked through my words. And I can walk on water. You can walk on water. You can walk on water, right? Who cares about somebody's salvation more than you do? Yahweh does. He will give you the words. And at first it's going to be stumbling. Austin, we were talking about this earlier. You'll start stumbling. And I said, I'm single, he's single. I go, it's kind of like talking to a pretty girl. You're going to talk yourself out of it. You just got to start doing it. You got to start exercising. You get over that fear thing. And then all of a sudden, okay. But that's your prophecy. That's how you stand out to other believers. You can go, how many people do you know can go to other people for prophecies? And I go, man, that's really neat. So we got to dish this stuff out. In much assurance, even as ye know what manner of men we became for you for your sake. Let me see here. Oh, now I said, but he came in power and in the Ruach Kodesh. So that's our choice to become those buds, to bud this out. And then also the big thing is not looking at numbers.
Yeah.
You look at those things. I look at TD Jakes and Rachel even sent it to me. I'm not even going to watch it. This guy knows exactly what he's doing. But he's got so many people behind him, he doesn't have to do it. I can do whatever I want. Good luck, sons of Korah. It's the same thing with Peter Furtick. Peter Furtick knows what this guy did. You know his son's a homosexual. You're still going to have this guy in your church. You're like, okay, you do whatever you want. But as for me and my house, we'll serve Yahweh. We'll go ahead and hear from our Heavenly Father. I'll give a prophecy. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and it says, covet to prophesy. Be zealous to prophesy. There's so many people that are out there that would love to hear from Yahweh. But the problem is so many people won't put their phone on speaker to let him speak because they're afraid of mistakes. Yahweh's bigger. He's big enough to work through any of our mistakes. And when his son comes back, time's out. That's all you got. My sons and my daughters know that I have wonderful blessings for you and that I am not intimidated by numbers. I'm not intimidated. Actually, I'm inspired when there's just one or two to go against all the rest because I get more glory. More glory comes to me. Actually, what happens is, and the greatest trainers are like this, Navy SEALs, when there's more against them and there's 12 against 1,000, they learn to train themselves. They teach themselves to say, we got them right where we want them. They look for more resistance. Learn how to train yourself for these things. I don't get intimidated. You shouldn't be intimidated. Lo, in my left and my right hand are the desires of your heart, the blessings that you want, the blessings that I stuck inside your heart, you won't get rid of. I will not let you get rid of these dreams. But I will give you dreams if you fulfill your calling in Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah.